Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Second Print Comics Podcast, starring Mark Clare and Renzo Martinez.
Fans of this show may remember an episode we did fairly early on, I think in the first couple months, where we looked at how Nick Fury, the character of Nick Fury, went from being an old white guy in the Marvel comics to a middle-aged bald black man. And that's an episode we did. We'll link to that in today's show notes. But now we're going to take a look at the other side of that equation. Whatever happened to good old white Nick Fury, or David Hasselhoff Nick Fury, as some refer to him, including my guest, my partner, my co-host,
wow,
in comic book crime.
Renzo, what's up? Whoa, you got to take me out to the barnyard shed or whatever it is, the shed out back to go take care of me old Yeller style like they took care of Nick Fury?
I am the host of this podcast. You're just a frequent guest that I have on every episode.
You're just a variant of a lesser Mark Clare.
Well, that's a great way to promote the fact that we just finished up Loki recaps with a ton of variant hosts. I think we had like four different, maybe even five different hosts that rotated throughout the Loki show. All the SPC variant hosts, you can hear all those recap episodes by joining the Second Print Comics Patreon at patreon.com/secondprintpod. But Remzo, I don't think I can spend too much time promoting things today because I'm just chomping at the bit to get into this story, aren't you?
You know, you and I actually have a lot of overlap in terms of stories that we really like. And I think like 99% of the time we're on the same page. When you said this was one of your favorite stories recently.
Oh, I never said that.
Well, you said it was one of your top ones. Well, you said it's what got you back into comics. And it's like, this is what's getting you back.
Where am I going to skew, Mark? There may have been
words
some hairs crossed here. There may have been some hairs crossed here. I believe what I said, and maybe I spun things in a way that confused you. I think all I said was, this is one of the first stories I read when I first got back into comics. That's not the same thing as being one of my favorite stories. Let's be very clear about that.
This is when you jumped back in?
This is when I jumped back in.
Is what pulled you?
No, this is not what pulled me. This is just a consequence of being pulled back in, getting the Marvel Unlimited app, and seeing what had just come out. So this is a story that I think had just completed about the time that I really started getting heavily back into comics. And Marvel Unlimited, that the existence of that app was a huge part of me getting back into comics. And it was so much fun to go back and dive into a bunch of old comics that I read back in the day, have access to all this Silver Age stuff. I mean, I just went wild on Marvel Unlimited. But then I said, what's going on in the present day? What are the big events happening? And just recently, this event called, what the hell is it called again?
The Thing, man, The Thing.
This is such a favorite story of mine that I already forgot what the hell it's called. No, this event is called Original Sin.
And
it came
go.
Out in 2014. And I think I had not read comics between about 2004, 2005 until 2013. And then I went crazy. I got into Invincible. I got into Walking Dead. I went back and read all the Savage Dragon that I'd missed over the years.
And now you do a comic book podcast.
And now I do a comic book podcast. Exactly. So this is how things can spiral if you're not careful, everybody. I suspect a similar fate for my stepson. As we discussed last week, I took him to buy his first comics the other week, and he's all in. Like he's obsessed with comics now. It's already all he talks about.
Remember, parents, get your kids addicted to comic books so they'll never have money for drugs.
Yes, or girlfriends or anything like that.
It's
part of me is excited for him to be getting into comics. The other part of me realizes I may have doomed him to a life of being beyond obsessed when spending all his money on this. So we'll see which way it goes.
Well, before we get started, just a minor house note. Folks, we went ahead and teased it a moment ago. Please, patreon.com/secondprintpod. That's patreon.com/secondprintpod. For as little as $5 a month, you get weekly Remso rants, tales from the Puckett pile. I was about to say Puckett pile. That's a shout out to our Canadian listeners, all three of them.
The Puckett pile.
Yeah, we've got recaps going back to WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, recently Loki, and Caleb Franz and I will be coming back in a couple weeks to do Marvel's What If on Disney Plus. So if you're just just clamoring at the bits for more SBC content, fear no more. We've got you covered every week. And if you just need a little bit more in that life, I'm so excited. I'm slurring my words and everything. Listen, we're about to go ahead and send out. Well, I just got off work. I'm thinking of 20 million different things, but 20 million different things narrow down to this. I'm going down to my local comic book shop this weekend to pick up a whole slew of graphic novels for our epic crossover level patrons. These are patrons that go ahead and get all the content I listed earlier, but they get a hand-picked hardcover graphic novel shipped to them every 3 months. So if you want to go ahead, support the show, get more content, and also grow your graphic novel library in the process, please, patreon.com/secondprintpod.
All right. Well, with that being said, I think it's time to dive into, as Remso noted, one of my favorite stories of all time. Now, that was definitely a miscommunication, but I don't want to spoil anything yet. So why don't we dive in? The event is called Original Sin. It is written by Jason Aaron, whose Thor run was excellent. That was also one of the first stories that I read around this time, which is why I said, oh, Jason Aaron's writing it. Okay, I'll check it out. And then we also have the art by Mike Diodato. And I'm not really that familiar with him. Are you?
He's there. Okay. He's one of those artists that Marvel really wanted to pump up as one of their young guns in 2014. And then everyone saw his stuff and they're like, that's all right. But that's all it is. It's all right.
All right. And this story, like I said, is going to address the fate of White Nick Fury in a sense. Although based on what I've seen for some recent Marvel comics, there's been some addendums to the story. Let's just put it that way, as these things happen in comics. But
they take your feelings and they just run with it and ruin everything.
They do. We start off with the Watcher, and we're just getting a little intro to the Watcher here. He's on the moon. He is the Watcher, as he states very clearly and very openly. I'll just give a little bit of a summary of who he is. For untold eons, he has watched us from on high. Such is his, I guess it's not the, this is not the Watcher narrating, obviously. Such is his sacred duty to bear witness. To be a living record of the Earth's revolution. He has seen all the beauty and horror that a world like ours has to offer. He has seen more births and deaths than he can count, more war than any other living thing. He has seen the colossal events that shook the planet that echo through history still, and the quietest of moments that change us without us even noticing. He has seen our greatest secrets, our struggles, our successes, our sins. Our sins, Remso, remember that phrase. He has seen all there is or ever was. And yet, with the coming of each new day, the Watcher is still full of wonder. Still full of wonder over what he might see next. Well, what's he going to see next? He's just looking out over his Watcher hut, basically, thinking to himself. And as he does so, we see a big, huge lightning or energy strike or explosion in the Watcher's lair. And we cut to a diner where we're having a little superhero meeting. We have Widow and Black Widow and Steve Rogers and Wolverine are sitting at a diner with good old David Hasselhoff Nick Fury, the original White Nick Fury. They're just kind of shooting the shit, telling a little story, sharing an old war story about Bucky butchering a cow in World War II that they got to eat, that Fury and Steve got to eat. And it was the best damn cow they ever eat. Did you get hungry reading this story, Remso?
I've got the Cheez-Its out right now.
Oh, man, I want Cheez-Its. That sounds great.
Sucks
to
be you.
Not as good as the greatest steak ever made. But they get a phone call. From who? From Thor. I guess has a cell phone. Thor says that everyone's got to go to the moon.
I'm sorry. Who do you think his provider would be? I feel like Thor's an AT&T guy.
I feel like he's a T-Mobile kind of guy.
Because of the T and the Thor.
Yeah, right. And the hammer. Kind of makes sense. A good tie in there.
I dig it.
but whoever his provider is, This phone call was enough to convince Nick Fury and company to just head right off to the moon without a second thought. And they do so, of course. Nick Fury says, "I'm driving." So they take Nick Fury's little space car. What do you think of Nick Fury's space car that he's always driving around in space?
I wish we had seen this more in like the MCU, because we've seen it a couple times. We saw a lot in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's dorky. But at the same time, it's like the Fast and Furious franchise is going to the moon. So give us more space car.
Indeed. We could use a lot more space car in the TV shows for sure. Maybe in Secret Invasion. Maybe now that he's up there in S.W.O.R.D. and he's doing a little more space stuff, maybe we will get the space car. They seem to be doing a lot of fan service, especially in Loki. I mean, Loki was just full of it.
Oh, yeah. So it's only a matter of time until we see like the full on S.H.I.E.L.D. space car.
Restore the space car, please. But they are all gathered at the moon and they find that the Watcher has been murdered. They find the Watcher's dead body. Of course, the Watcher, Uatu, big, giant, creepy, bald guy that watches everything. He's just basically the ultimate creeper, as we discussed in our What If episode way back when. His eyes, not only is he murdered, but like I said, his eyes are completely punched out. He has no eyes. So it's just a nasty scene altogether. What did you think when you... Did you read this? I didn't think I asked you in the beginning. Did you read this when it first came out?
Yeah, I did. I collected it month to month. And what I do appreciate about the series, and you see this in the artwork, you see this in the way that they began the story, it's very much like a old school 1920s mystery noir type story. But with this, I mean, what I like is that they don't lean off the fact that it's like when somebody dies in the Marvel Universe, you might as well make it look like a real death. If you had ever told me that they were going to kill the Watcher and that his eyes would be gouged out or whatever the hell they ended up doing to him, I'd be like, Marvel's not going to do that. He's in too many kids shows. He's in all the cartoons. They want to go ahead and do this. You're not going to take the giant, like, overgrown mutant alien Gerber baby and gouge out his eyes. But they went ahead and did that. So I was pretty much hooked from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what pulled me in initially, just to the concept of the story, just the idea that they killed the Watcher, that there was this sort of murder mystery angle to it. And that concept kind of drew me in to want to see the rest of the story. And once I've sort of committed to a story, once I've committed to see it out, I kind of got to see it out. And this one really went wild, because the story we're going to look at today is 8 issues. But this one had like spinoffs upon spinoffs upon spinoffs. I think every single Marvel comic had like an Original Sin.
I wasn't able to do it. I collected like Original Sin Iron Man, and then when they shot out like 20 others, I was like, you know what? It's time to move on with my life.
Yeah, and the concept is somewhat intriguing. We'll get to actually how the whole Sin thing, you know, plays out. But, you know, like I said, conceptually, there's things that interest me about this story. The execution, well, that's what we'll discuss a little bit more as we go along. Yeah, they're basically just discussing what's going on, how did the Watcher die, what's happening, we got to figure this out. And next thing we know, we are seeing that there has been a team. There are multiple teams actually being put together. One team we see it consists of, let's see, it's, I believe, Black Panther. We also see basically there's like various characters being contacted by this mystery person who's putting this team together. We see Ant-Man is teaming up with Emma Frost. We also see on a separate mission, first of all, they're torturing a guy when we first run into them in Los Angeles, but we have Doctor Strange and the Punisher teaming up. And then we have another team that consists of Moon Knight, Winter Soldier, and Gamora. What did you just think of these three little teams that they put together? Black Panther, Ant-Man, Emma Frost, Doctor Strange and Punisher, Moon Knight, Winter Soldier, and Gamora.
They really wanted to let you know they've got some movies and Netflix shows coming out. Otherwise, and don't get me wrong, I like the matchings. I like the fact that we get to see a lot of characters that usually don't get a lot of time, and these big event crossover books get some attention. But like, this came out in like, what, 2013, 2014? It felt so forced. In a way, it almost took me out of the story, because I'm like, they only want to set these guys up because they've got big stuff coming down from Hollywood within a couple of months. So I can't really tell if they were used because they actually make sense for the story, or if it's because I need to get excited to go out and see their stuff.
Yeah, I guess this was right before we would get like the Ant-Man movie, the Black Panther movie, Doctor Strange movie. Yeah, so there, and then I think also Punisher was coming out on Netflix around probably not too long after this as well. So could be a marketing thing here too. I think Marvel just
absolutely
likes to...
Absolutely marketing. This is at the height of them, like, commodifying the commodities. All new, all different, all now.
Yeah, this is where everything has started to become just a commodity and less about an actual story, more about how can we create this marketing vehicle for everything else we're doing. And oh yeah, I guess we have comics, so I guess we'll try to use those. But we continue. Captain America, he seems to have a lead of some kind. Don't really know what that is. He's of course talking to the Fantastic Four at all. This is really Marvel is really trying to make this into a mega event feel, where basically every single character, you know, that has mattered ever, and many who don't matter, get involved in this story in one way or another. But we come upon Thing, who is battling the Mindless One in New York City, along with Spider-Man as well. Remzo, what can you tell me about the Mindless One?
Well, for one, he is mindless, and that's about it.
That's all we got, huh?
That's all we got.
I don't know. I hardly know anything about this character.
I know after this, you never see him again. And I'm really wondering when you saw him before this. I wonder if they kind of put him in there and they're like, yeah, you know this guy. And everyone's like, do we know this guy?
I don't know. Now you're making me think I got to do instant research here. Strange Tales number 127 was the first appearance of the Mindless One. They are fictional monsters. They're not really the Mindless One. They're the Mindless Ones.
Oh, so it's like Andy, the super robot.
Yeah, and they are extra-dimensional creatures summoned via magic to do the biddings of others. So there you go.
Oh, so literally a faceless alien henchman.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. They're a faceless henchman that can be summoned by magic users to do whatever because they're mindless. That's why they're called the mindless.
They should have just brought in the Chitauri while we're at it.
Yeah, but in this case, the Mindless One actually seems to not be mindless, as the Thing so notes, because he's speaking telepathically, and he's saying things like, why he make I know was better not knowing. And that's when the Thing says, oh, he doesn't seem so mindless to me. He's like, Spidey's saying something's wrong. They're not supposed to be telepathic. They're not even supposed to be able to think or anything. He's like, well, whatever. We'll figure that out later. Meanwhile, we got to battle this Mindless One. So
speaking of which, I just found out that crows are self-aware.
As in they are aware of themselves? I just rephrased the word.
They can identify themselves and differentiate themselves from the rest of existence, much like humans.
Interesting. And frightening.
It'll bother you for the rest of the night.
I don't know if that bothers me more or less than the existence of the Mindless Ones. But regardless, it seems the Mindless One, this Mindless One anyway, has somewhat of a mind, because he's thinking, and he's thinking telepathically, communicating with Spider-Man and things. So they're kind of freaked out about the whole thing. But then, of course, we see Captain America and Nick Fury show up in the good old space car. Oh, by the way. The Mindless One also had something. He had the Ultimate Nullifier. Now, the Ultimate Nullifier is this super powerful weapon, and part of what the Watcher does, we learned this in, there was actually a original Sin number 0 that I read too, but we know this through Marvel canon and such. He lives on the moon and he watches what goes on specifically on Earth, but he also has an armory of, like, he basically collects a bunch of weapons and things that were, you know, collected over the years that were used in various historic events, kind of like a little museum. But one of those weapons is the Ultimate Nullifier, which was originally used to defeat Galactus when the Fantastic Four first encountered him. So I was a little frightened personally to see a Mindless One just waving around an Ultimate Nullifier.
Yeah, I feel like they would have done that like way, way sooner. Like, why is it when they go ahead and create these giant, like, you know, giant machines to go ahead and take down like cosmic entities like Galactus, they never used it again? Like, wouldn't have this thing been awesome during, like, Infinity Gauntlet or something else?
They didn't even really use it against Galactus. I think in that, if I recall correctly, in that original story, they try to get it and they can't get it. But Reed Richards, like, basically just, like, figures out the design of it and builds a new one and threatens Galactus with it. And then he freaks out. But the one that Reed made isn't actually a functioning Ultimate Nullifier. It was just made to look like the Ultimate Nullifier. But that was enough to scare Galactus off. Spoiler alert for Fantastic Four, I think, I don't know, 60 to 62 or something like that, whenever that first Galactus story was. But yeah, this Mindless One, he takes that Ultimate Nullifier and he points it at himself and nullifies himself. He commits suicide. So whatever was going on with this Mindless One, he clearly was not mindless. He had a mind that was so driven to pain and torture that he actually killed himself with the Ultimate Nullifier. So
what does what's the character from Rick and Morty? Mr. Meeses. Existence is pain.
Yeah, they're basically, these are basically Meeseeks. This is exactly what they are. And so this is a pretty violent story, actually, between that the bloody eye murder of the Watcher and the mindless one killing himself. There's been a lot of violence in this story so far.
Quentin Tarantino, you know what Marvel film you need to go ahead and direct.
Hey, if J.J. Abrams' son can write a Marvel comic, Quentin Tarantino can definitely direct an MCU movie.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's the best analogy.
I would love to see him do Moon Knight. Too bad that's not going to happen.
Nah, he's got to do The Punisher. Come on.
Really?
Got to do The Punisher.
You think that one?
I would take anything, to be honest. I mean, it would be unique and absurd no matter what. Or maybe Blade. I could see him do Blade.
That would be cool. No, Ghost Rider. I would love to see Quentin Tarantino's Ghost Rider.
When I think of Quentin Tarantino, I think of heads being chopped off and blood spraying from those severed heads. And that just seems so perfect for like a Blade. But I guess Moon Knight would work too.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Restore the Tarantino-verse, everybody. Meanwhile, we see these couple teams have broken up and they're all kind of on different missions, doing whatever. Ant-Man, T'Challa, and Emma, they're headed towards the center of the Earth. Why? Because comics. Doctor Strange and Punisher are teleporting to some other dimension, and the other team is heading to the moon, it seems. And meanwhile, there are a bunch of mindless ones that are seemingly being held prisoner somewhere in this warehouse. We see some kind of shadowy figures, can't exactly tell who they are, and then we see a close-up, and we see that someone is holding one of the eyes of the Watcher. And that wraps up our first issue. Just as far as this first issue, based on what they've laid out here, you already mentioned you were kind of intrigued by the death of the Watcher, but were you sucked into this story at all, at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely intriguing. It's one of those situations where I have to put aside my gripes, which really are just that, they're gripes, because when you look at the story itself, it's definitely interesting. And I remember being somewhat excited to see all these characters that we don't often see in the comics, but because they were going to be put in TV shows and films, we get to see them come out and play and stuff like that. So I do remember that bit of nostalgia coming in. I do remember the artist. He was the same guy who did the Dark Avengers series, which I also really liked. I feel like he's got real high marks in terms of his stuff, but he's also got really low marks. That's why I've always had kind of a mixed opinion of him, because when he did Dark Avengers, it was really awesome. Then he came here, and we'll kind of see this later, but it kind of wanes on me a little bit. So first issue, I dug it. I thought it was catchy. It was mysterious. It's definitely one of those good genre stories that I think if a good writer is able to capture it, he could definitely do well. I'm just still kind of nitpicking about the characters he kind of chose to throw into this plot. Like, what's Ant-Man? Like, what's, like, come on. Like, what's Ant-Man going to do to find this?
Yeah, he seems like a great candidate to go to the center of the Earth.
I think Ant-Man is, like, one of the most overrated B-list heroes ever, and I don't understand this need to want to make him popular. This is Scott Lang, too. Scott Lang, like, I get it. For a lot of people, he's, like, their guy. But what about my dude? What about Eric O'Grady? Oh, yeah, they killed him. Why? Because they need to make Scott Lang Ant-Man again. Why? Because Scott Lang had a movie coming out. I'm bitter about all the wrong things, Mark.
I don't even know Eric O'Grady.
Eric O'Grady. Ant-Man? Oh man, now I know we got to do for an episode. There were three.
An Eric O'Grady episode.
We got. Oh my gosh, this was written by. This was written by Robert Kirkman, the irredeemable Ant-Man. Really? I am gonna change your world.
This sounds great already.
It's amazing.
I'm a huge Kirkman fan, so I'm down.
Bring back Eric O'Grady.
Should we just switch out the episode right now? And
fuck it. We'll do it live. Let's stick with the second Ant-Man, figure out why he's going to the center of the Earth and all that jazz.
I'll look forward to the Eric O'Grady Ant-Man episode. But until then, we're going to issue 2 of Original Sin. And we are somewhere deep within the Earth with our Center of the Earth team, which, of course, again, is Black Panther, Ant-Man, and Scott Lang. No, Black Panther, Emma Frost, and Scott Lang, Ant-Man. And they're hanging out with some moloids, the mole men, who are they basically do the bidding of the mole man, who was the very first villain in the very first issue of the Fantastic Four way back in the day. And they figure out that the moloids, they don't know much because they're moloids, but they do know that another body appears in this place like every few months. And they're always these giant, weird, crazy dinosaur bodies. And they're just appearing here in the center of the Earth. So that's another layer to this mystery. mystery that's unfolding, and what it has to do with the Watcher, that we do not know. Moving on, we go to Cap, Captain America, Wolverine, and Spider-Man, who are battling another mindless one. The mindless one, like, jumps out of this building, ends up in Nick Fury's car, and then Nick Fury jetpacks out of his space car and blows it up along with the mindless one. I gotta say, I really did enjoy how Nick Fury dealt with this just by
only David Hasselhoff Nick Fury could do such a David Hasselhoff Nick Fury move.
This was definitely David Hasselhoff. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe I am correct. This takes place after Bloodlines. This place takes place once this new Black Nick Fury, who is the son of this Nick Fury, has replaced him as director of S.H.I.E.L.D. So Nick Fury is just kind of hanging out doing other stuff.
Yes. So if you want to go back and harm yourself, go back and listen to the Bloodlines episode.
Now, the episode listening to should not harm you. That should bring you joy. The only harm is inflicted upon ourselves by you, actually, making us read that
story. It hurt us more than it hurt you.
For sure. But listening to it should be a charm. I will link to that in the show notes for today, which, of course, you can find all of our show notes for all our episodes over at secondprintcomics.com. Just go over there. You can easily sort things by podcast episodes. We have a whole bunch of other, other posts and stuff that Remzo has been pumping out. So there's a lot of content over there at secondprintcomics.com. But moving along, let's see. So Nick Fury kills this mindless one.
He did.
Meanwhile, the Avengers, Tony Stark and Bruce Banner, they're doing some science stuff, and they confirm that it was indeed the actual ultimate nullifier last seen on the moon with the Watcher. So that they are now, of course, tying this back in to whatever happened with the Watcher. Perhaps whoever killed him maybe raided the stash of weird space weapons. So that's happening. We also have Doctor Strange and the Punisher. They are I just wrote in my notes, Doctor Strange and Punisher antics. They're just kind of, they're being kind of aggressive buddies here. It's like a kind of a buddy cop situation here where they're kind of, basically each threatening each other that, the Punisher could basically take out Doctor Strange anytime with his, variety of guns. And, Doctor Strange could always teleport, teleport Punisher to some weird dimension. But they're still doing this thing.
Punisher, I've come to bargain.
Punisher, I've come to bargain. But they stop quipping because they are here for some mission that they were contacted by this mysterious benefactor whose identity we still do not know. And they are investigating these monsters that are appearing in this dimension, in this weird dimension place. And they find that the monsters was killed with, it seems like, some kind of gamma radiated bullet. So that's happening.
A thing now.
Yeah, so that's a thing. So there were in both these situations, in the center of the Earth as well as in this other weird dimensional place, there are monsters showing up who were killed in various ways. And Punisher basically says there's only a few people who can make a shot like this. So, of course, that's going to hopefully, narrow down our list of suspects. We then see these mysterious figures plus these mindless ones one of them turns out to be what I think it's Exterminatrix, something like that. Yeah, Exterminatrix.
Yeah.
And a big old battle ensues because the Avengers have basically tracked down the Mindless One to this little warehouse these guys are in. So it's the Exterminatrix and somebody with a hood whose identity we do not know yet. He's the one that's holding the Eye of the Watcher. And the Avengers show up and they're doing Avenger stuff. A big battle ensues a big old battle ensues basically here. We just get a few pages of kind of, standard superhero battle stuff. Nothing I really think I need to go into in great depth here, but they get their asses kicked pretty handily. There's like a million superheroes at this point, by the way. There's like, it's not just like your regular Avengers, your Hulk, your Spider-Man, your Captain America. You also got the Fantastic Four. You got Thing. You got Black Widow. You got Nick Fury there.
I'm surprised they brought in the Fantastic Four for this. I don't even think they had a book on the stands.
Actually, I think only Thing is here, actually, at this point. I think this is just around when they canceled Fantastic Four for like 5 years or so. This is right before Secret Wars, I believe, which kind of did the whole reset of the Fantastic Four, sent them off into interdimensional space, and then they
because they had to justify the fact that they didn't want to share film merchandise with Fox. Gotcha.
Yes, precisely. That's what's happening behind the scenes. And then we see this hooded figure that they're surrounding, and he makes this reveal. He pulls off his hood to reveal that he is this creature with a giant eye for a head called the Orb. And they even give us a caption for the Orb. If I were instead of asking Remzo, I can just ask Marvel Comics. Marvel, what can you tell me about the Orb? Well, they tell me this. They tell me the Orb is a Z-list supervillain with an eyeball for a head. And he is also the man who just changed the world. What did you think about the appearance of the Orb?
I know he's Z-list, but he's always been one of my favorites. I remember moving from Texas to Virginia as a kid, the Ghost Rider movie of Nicolas Cage had just come out. And my dad went ahead and got me, I think it was Ghost Rider Chronicles. It was a giant, Ghost Rider Essentials. So it was a giant, thick graphic novel of all the original Ghost Rider comics. And he was in there. And the Orb was a stuntman who hated Johnny Blaze, went with this whole gimmick. And eventually later, through comic book magic and shit like that, he actually became like a walking, talking eyeball. He's stupid. He makes no sense. Everyone makes fun of him. But the Orb has a special place in my heart.
All right. Well, you must have got chills down your spine at this point in the story with the Orb appearing. I was not familiar with this character at all, but I did think he looked pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. I'm a sucker for big giant eyeballs, you know?
Yeah.
Moving on to issue 3. And now the lineup has really, because, you know, Marvel Comics, this is after they had started doing the whole, like, every issue you get a page of just a lineup of all the characters in the story. And it has really expanded since the first one. So I'm not going to name them all, but, you know, they lay out every character that's appeared. Captain America, Spider-Man, Wolverine, etc. We have Nova, Luke Cage, Magic, and then we have this little like Hickman-esque
where the hell was the Falcon? How is the Falcon in here? Like, I look at this, I'm like, I've been paying attention. Where are all these people?
The one panel of all the Avengers showing up in the last issue.
I mean, I don't remember Iceman, Storm. I don't remember Kitty Pryde. I mean, Luke Cage, he's the only black guy on the team. You thought you'd give him at least half a page at one point, and then they threw in Magic in there. Why not Colossus? None of this. This is what bothers me. What also bothers me about the series is by now, by issue 3, you have at least 4 other spinoff series for Spider-Man, for Iron Man, for a few others. But then they started doing the .1 issues. So you've got like issue 1, .1, issue 2, .2, issue 3, .3, and et cetera, et cetera.
Not cool.
And all
Not
they cool. give you is bullshit. So really, they throw this in there because they're trying to loop you in. Oh, you're missing stuff. But really, as somebody who eventually read those later, you're not.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of intrigue set up and questionable whether we got a lot of payoff to that intrigue. But we go into issue 3 here. The Orb is describing a dream that he had, a dream of the Watcher, of being on the moon, of plotting to rob the Watcher, along with, we do get now a reveal of one of the guys behind something. At least he's the guy that is behind the actions of Exterminatrix and the Org. It is Dr. Midas. Remzo, what can you tell me about Dr. Midas?
I literally know shit about Dr. Midas.
I know one thing about Dr. Midas. He turns people to gold by touching them.
I always wonder this. Is that Iron Man's Mark One suit?
It does look a lot like it. I don't think there's any correlation, but it does look very similar.
Somebody was being lady in the artist's office. I'm sorry. Somebody was being lazy in the artist's office.
Yeah, it seemed they really were focusing on, like they describe the Orb, Z-list villains in this thing. But there's a reason for that. So we'll get to it later. I don't want to spoil anything here for anybody who hasn't followed this tale in the past. We go back to New York, where the Orb is unleashing the power of the Watcher's eye. So he's holding this eye and it's sending out this blast through all the heroes. And something weird starts to happen. Like, people seem to be having revelations of some kind. They seem to be whatever power unleashed, and the Orb is saying this is going to be fun to watch. And like, they're all kind of saying different things, like Luke Cage is saying, what the hell does that mean? Why would, and the Hulk is saying, you know, well, wait, what just happened? Was I the only one who saw that? No, the Hulk is saying Hulk smashed Stark. So Hulk wants to go after Tony Stark. Thor has a revelation. He says, by the spires of Asgard, I have a sister. So they're all getting information that the Watcher had, and somehow how Orb unleashes this, they're getting this, some of the secrets that the Watcher was keeping, because the secrets, I guess, get stored in the Watcher's eye. So interesting concept. You know, what did you think about this, just this idea of people having these quote-unquote sins revealed to them by the Orb unleashing the Watcher's eye?
I actually liked that as a concept. I wish they, like, my issue with the story, not to go on too much of a tangent as I have already so far, but like, I liked the premise. My whole issue is the execution. Because after this one page is what's going to inspire all the other spinoffs. So you're reading this main series hoping that you're going to see some delivery on that in the main, like, Original Sin storyline. And I can't honestly tell you that you are. That's why you have to go out and buy like a dozen other books. And some of these, for their own, you know, what I will give them credit for is like some of the stuff is lasting in terms of its impacts. You saw this for Spider-Man. Spoiler alert, this is what introduces you to the character of Silk. You get a new layer of the Hulk, which is going to lead into Civil War II, which will lead into Immortal Hulk. Like, some of these characters, it's actually going to matter. But that's the other thing. It's like, if you're going to set up the stakes being this high, freaking deliver. At least deliver in the book I'm paying $4.25 a month on.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Sin thing is really just, like you said, it's purely this marketing thing to put this intriguing idea out about all these different sins that different characters have committed against each other. But you don't explore those in this book, except for, I guess, one of them, really, ultimately. But you don't explore those in this book. It's all just sending you to, like, 40 different spinoffs for every different character. And, I mean, if you have Marvel Unlimited and you want to put yourself through that, you could read all these spinoffs, but... it's questionable if that's even worth it. Do any of that? You said they do have like some long lasting effects. Do you remember what the actual, I think you said you read the Iron Man and Hulk one. So what was the sin there? Can you reveal that sin to us?
The sin was that Tony Stark knew that the atomic bomb, the gamma bomb that they were experimenting on with Thunderbolt Ross wasn't good enough to do. It wasn't safe enough to even test, but Stark wanted to basically secure the contract of Ross, so he put it out there anyway. And after Bruce thought that he made some adjustments to it, Tony went in and put everything back to how it was because he didn't want Bruce taking credit later. Now, this is a pre-Iron Man Tony Stark, too. This is before he went to Afghanistan, because this is after the Iron Man retcon. Originally, he went to Vietnam. So this is before he went to Afghanistan and got the shrapnel in his heart.
All right. So this really does tie right into the Hulk origin, huh?
Yeah. I mean, Tony Stark is directly responsible, because if he hadn't like pushed this unsafe testing through and then gone around and done all that, I mean, Bruce Banner would have never become the Hulk.
So yeah, the point being here, none of these sins really matter. The ones that might matter more, you even see some civilians that are having revelations here. You see one woman, she goes, with the babysitter? So, you know, I think the regular folks are going to have some tougher nights at home than some of these superheroes are with their sins. But meanwhile, Nick Fury points a gun at the orb, tells him to put down the eye. But the orb is saying, no, look, I also want to know. I want to know who really murdered the Watcher too, because it definitely wasn't me. So there's, now the mystery continues.
Listen, man, I'm just a giant eyeball holding another eyeball, trying to look into the eyeballs of everyone.
If you did not kill someone, you might not want to be holding one of the eyes that someone violently ripped out of their heads. That's all I'm saying. But
this whole scene reminded me of Brick from Anchorman. It's like, I killed a man with a trident. Brick, you should probably lay low. You're wanted for murder. Yeah,
you probably shouldn't be flailing that eyeball around then.
Yeah.
You should probably find a safe house. So Orb also wants to know what's going on. We then continue to see what's been going on with some of these investigations continuing in the underworld, as well as this weird dimension with Doctor Strange and the Punisher. And Doctor Strange basically says, all right, tell me every single name. Because like I said, Punisher is saying, like, only 10 people. Like, he got it down to a very specific number. Only 10 people could have made this one shot from this place to this, against this one creature with this gamma bullet. He's like, all right, Give me the list of your 10 people. So, you know, Doctor Strange is getting a little deeper on this investigation as well. We also see Moon Knight, Gamora, and Winter Soldier doing their own thing. Meanwhile, we do see that we get a little shot of this benefactor. We kind of see him from behind. We still don't exactly know who he is specifically, but he does seem to be a little bit of an older man. We see some really gray hair, and we see that he also has one of these gamma bullets, the same gamma bullets that were found in this weird dimension where Doctor Strange and the Punisher are also investigating things, supposedly at the behest of this weird benefactor. So a lot of intrigue, a lot of tie-ins going on. Meanwhile, we see the Hulk and the Wolverine are interrogating the orb, basically just threatening him with violence. As you really notice when you're older, that Marvel superheroes tend to do a lot. Like, there's a lot of torture and violence being conducted by Marvel superheroes. Now, it appears in this case.
They did so much of that, George W. Bush was an honorary Avenger.
Sir, we've made you an Avenger for your heroics in the torture space.
Thank Get you me much. That Black Widow lady. Why, sir? Because.
Yeah, so they're interrogating him. They're telling him, you know, tell me how you killed the Watcher or whatever. And the Orb is saying, like, bring me Nick Fury and I'll tell you everything. And it's like, okay, whatever. And this basically leads Nick Fury to search for Dr. Midas. And in the meantime, these secrets have just thrown so much shit into chaos. People are mad at each other, like you said. Hulk is mad at Tony Stark, but he's going to put that aside for now while he, you know, does the stuff in this main book. And everybody's basically just mad at each other for various reasons that you can explore in various other spinoffs if you so choose to. Meanwhile, Captain America, Captain America is being the most secretive. He's not talking about what he saw from the little secret bomb here. And, you know, Fury. And then meanwhile, Nick Fury is also wondering to himself. He's wondering, like, why didn't I see anything here? Meanwhile, we see that the space team of Gamora, Bucky, and Moon Knight have landed on this planet.
Why is it you could get Gamora, but you can't get Star-Lord or Drax? You know, heroes that actually make sense being out in space.
Yeah, I don't know why Bucky needs to go into space.
Or like Moon Knight. Not, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not, like, I like both of these guys, but when I'm picking a space team, I mean, at least Black Panther has been to space. The Thing has been to space. What? This is weird.
I love that every character in Marvel Comics is adept at traveling through space. They can all pilot spaceships. They can all put on a helmet and just fly around in space. And it's like, they require no training. If you're a hero, you know how to do space stuff.
That's how Jeff Bezos did it.
There you go. And they basically find out that they're trying to investigate, you know, something, and they figure out that, oh, the body is this planet. It's like a living planet. And I said, oh, like Ego? Well, they actually say that too. They say, oh yeah, a living planet, just like Ego. So we get a big long shot of this murdered planet. So they're standing on this dead planet. So that's what's going on there. Let's see. They're also trying to figure out, while they're on this planet here, at one point, like, Bucky disappears. Like, Moon Knight and Gamora are just chatting. Bucky has disappeared. And then you hear this, you see this beep, 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 and their spaceship blows up. So it appears that perhaps Bucky has blown up the ship and stranded Moon Knight and Gamora on this planet.
Oh, I think we also need to mention that in the panel that absolutely raised my expectations and then quickly broke my heart when they give like this little flashback of who killed the planet. Do you recognize who that guy is with the giant Gamma Gatling gun?
Wait, where do they actually show that?
Between.
Oh, no, I see. Yeah, I see. I see.
Yeah. Do you know who that is?
I do not. I mean, I know who it's. No. What am I missing?
That is Rom, Space Knight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's fucked up is that Marvel has been teasing Rom throughout the Young Cable series, this and a few other books, even Secret Wars in one of the covers. But what's fucked up is that Marvel doesn't even own the rights to him. So he has belonged to IDW as part of the Hasbro license for the past 5 years. So they keep trying to bring Rom in certain situations, but they either completely ignore him or they make it sound like it's anybody but him. But I'm a big Rom Space Knight fan. So when I saw this for the first time, I was like, oh my God, Marvel got Rom back. And then they fuck it up. So, yeah.
So it's not. Okay, but in this story and what's revealed later, it's not actually Rom.
Yes, it's not actually Rom.
They're kind of teasing us.
They're trying to make you think, oh my God, does Marvel have Rom back?
Is this what this is all about?
That's what they tried to do. That's what they tried to do. So,
well, spoiler alert, it's not.
It's not Rom. Rom Space Knight fans.
We then see that Bucky we see that Nick Fury is holding the eye. He's checking out the eye. He's wondering who has the other eye, because this is only the one eye that they got from Orb.
You see, people, Watchers have two eyes.
Yes, just like many other creatures, Watchers have two eyes. So there's another eye missing out there. And then we see Bucky appears through a portal and immediately shoots Nick Fury in the head. And then, if that wasn't enough, he beheads Nick Fury. And that's how we end our issue, with Bucky standing over Nick Fury, holding the eye, holding Nick Fury's head, and saying, no more secrets. What did you think about what happened here with Bucky? And were you at all concerned that Nick Fury had actually passed away?
Yeah, that was fucking metal.
That was pretty
cool. I don't know what else to say. It's awesome.
The thing is, we've seen every time I see Nick Fury die, spoiler alert, this is what happens. I always know, oh, this is a...
In every story we've done for this show that has Nick Fury, he dies somehow, but he never really dies.
Well, yeah, it's because he's always, there's always an LMD. You know, there's always a life model decoy living somewhere behind who you think at the time is definitely the real Nick Fury. And then it kind of never actually is the real Nick Fury.
I mean, go back to Second Brick Comics episode 2 when we did Brian Michael Bendis' Secret War. At the end of it, Wolverine like claws the fuck out of Nick Fury. And then it's like, oh, he's a robot.
All right, moving along to issue number 4, the Punisher and Doctor Strange having a little conversation. They are contemplating the deception taking place. They think there's some deception going on here. And again, they're kind of arguing with each other. You see Punisher is pointing a gun at Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange says, you know, what pisses me off is being lied to. Like, he realizes that whoever sent us on this mission is actually probably knows more than they know. And he thinks that they are being manipulated here, as of course they are. We then go to Bucky, who's on the old blue area of the moon, which was the Watcher's home. And he now has his eye like strapped to his utility belt, and he's still carrying the head of Nick Fury.
I'm screenshotting this. This is actually going to become my new wallpaper on my phone.
Bucky holding Nick Fury's head.
Yes.
We then go back to see the progress of the Center of the Earth crew of Black Panther, Ant-Man, and Emma Frost. And basically they figure out that, what's the deal? They figured out.
Why didn't they give Emma Frost the eye? Like, she's like one of the most powerful psychics and telepaths in the world. And you're telling me that she couldn't have looked into the eye? If the freaking orb could make it work, I think she could.
You would think so. You would think so.
I'll go ahead and complain about something real fast. The fact that they never brought January Jones back as Emma Frost in the X-Men films absolutely broke my heart.
Big fan.
Big fan. Big fan.
Of Emma Frost and January Jones.
Especially when they're one and the same.
Exactly. So basically, at the end of the day here, all of these teams end up converging on Avengers Tower, along with Bucky and the dead Nick Fury, who basically all show up at the same time. And Punisher and Strange show up there, and Punisher just blows Hulk like out of the side of the building, because Strange and Punisher want to then have their way with the orb and interrogate the orb. And basically they figure out that they're working for someone called the Unseen. The orb says you haven't seen the unseen. I saw him in the eye. I saw his sins I didn't know one man could kill so many things. So we're learning that there's something called the Unseen, and that's who is really behind a lot of what's going on here. Black Panther's crew, they've gone from the center of the Earth straight to flying into freaking space. So what a hell of a contraption they have here that can burrow into the Earth and find the moloids and also bring them off into space. They get on this satellite, and they also find Doctor Strange and Punisher there. They have, of course, done a Doctor Strange portal up to this same satellite, and they are there with the orb, as well as, oh yeah, Bucky is also here too. So they've all converged on this same satellite. And Bucky has a great line here when they're all kind of arguing about, you know, who's on whose side and what have you. He says to Punisher, "I'm not afraid of a man who can't protect his own children."
Ooh.
That is a serious burn. And I am shocked that Frank Castle did not just cap Bucky right in the skull right there.
Immediately.
But maybe he's got a point. Then another ship docks, and it is Gamora along with, she's now got Rocket Raccoon with her.
Oh, finally, somebody that makes sense. Yes.
So I guess we can assume that when Gamora and Moon Knight got stranded on this planet, she used her, you know, her T-Mobile or whatever to call Moon Knight, to call Rocket Raccoon, who, of course, probably had a spaceship. And, you know, here they are. So now they're all converging on this ship. They're going after Bucky because they're pissed that Bucky, blew up their ship and stranded them there. But he says, "Gamora, I'm not your enemy. Believe it or not, I was just trying to protect you."
Did he just knock her out with Nick Fury's head?
Yes, he took her out by slapping her in the face with Nick Fury's head.
That's a Tarantino move.
Exactly, man. Tarantino should direct Original Sin, the movie. Actually, could be pretty badass.
This makes more sense the more I read it.
Yeah, there you go. Let's see. And of course, we then learn in this scene that Nick Fury's head is an LMD. It's not really the real Nick Fury, as I suspected all along. And then we then see who appears, but is someone that is appears to be Nick Fury, but a much older version of Nick Fury, surrounded by a bunch of Nick Fury LMDs, life model decoys. So it appears, perhaps, that this is the real Nick Fury, one that has actually aged more than we've ever thought Nick Fury had aged before. What did you think of this reveal at the end?
I want to say I kind of saw it coming when I read it the first time. And looking back, I feel like they were definitely leading you in this direction. I will say, though, that everything that comes after this, I hate. So, yeah.
Spoiler alert. It doesn't get better from here, friends. All right, moving into issue 5. This is where we have story time with Nick Fury, is what I call it. And basically, old-ass Nick Fury is telling this story, and it's a story we've apparently never heard from before.
I've just got to say, like, at this point in Marvel's history, this is when you see every character's worst costume. You have not ultimate, but kind of ultimate. We got to make it make sense for the movies, Captain America. We've got Wolverine without his healing factor, so he's literally walking around in, like, you know, a giant leather human condom. And then you've got Iron Man, who apparently red was too edgy, so they're like, you know what, make it black. And then you've got Spider-Man, who Spider-Man went back to being regular Spider-Man, so I'll give Spider-Man a pass.
So it's like the lamest version of everybody, basically.
Yeah, I mean, how many layers of clothes do they have Emma Frost in? She's not a character not a character you put clothes on.
Moving on to issue 5, like I said, story time with Nick Fury, and he is in 1958 in Kansas. This is old SHIELD agent Nick Fury. And he's battling some weird aliens, and suddenly some guy saves him. He's like the only one living here, and some guy shows up and saves Nick Fury, this guy in this weird armor. And then, basically this guy comes in, he's kind of like Rom Space Knight, but he's clearly some kind of human in this weird battle armor. He zaps away all these aliens, but in the melee, he gets zapped down, and it appears he is dying. He gets like spiked through through his stomach by something. So this, super hero space guy that saves Nick Fury from these aliens, he is dying. He said, I always thought it would be the Skrulls who got me, not these bunch of nobodies. This guy's dying, and then somebody comes along here, comes through this portal, and who is it? It's Howard Stark. So the Starks are just involved in freaking everything here. He says, "Holy Toledo, did you see that? That bomb is going to make me a mint. Come on, Woody, let's get..." And Fury pulls out a gun. He's like, "Whoa, that's close enough." And Howard's saying, well, easy here. Calm down, chill out. And Howard Stark explains to Nick Fury that this is not the first alien invasion, that's for sure. And he says, this guy has a name. This guy's name was Woodrow McCord. What a name, but it's a very 1958 name. This guy's name is Woodrow McCord, and apparently Stark and a bunch of other like industrialist guys, who were sort of, secret elites that were kind of doing their own thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember this now. You want to know what? Okay, so what's funny is Hulk's sin isn't even Hulk's sin. It's Iron Man's sin against Hulk, but you want to know what Iron Man's real sin is?
What is it? This?
It's Howard's sin. Oh. Okay, I'm gonna leave this here, and I'm not gonna explain it. Tony Stark is not Howard's son's. Is not Howard Stark's son. Howard Stark is not Tony Stark's dad.
And that's the sin that we learn in the Iron Man.
That's what you learn.
Oh, well, that's kind of lame.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because it's in the Invincible. I think it's the Invincible Iron Man series where we find out that Tony's parents were these other like super spies or something.
They were SHIELD agents. Well, his mom was a SHIELD agent. His dad was a SHIELD agent who was like a undercover agent for Hydra, and that Howard and Marie Stark adopted him.
Yeah, that's dumb. That's the same series that we. This is why I have trouble.
Fucking Brian Michael Bendis. As much as I love him, he'll go and do something like that. And it's like, you unforgivable son of a bitch.
And then if you weren't upset enough, he'll give you Ironheart at the same time. So yeah, it's hard to trust this guy, but he also gave us Secret War. I mean, what literally that in our second issue, our second episode, ooh, it's been a while, our second episode, we covered Secret War, Brian Michael Bendis Secret War, one of the best stories I've ever read. So
Brian Michael Bendis giveth and Brian Michael Bendis taketh away.
That's the thing, you just can't trust him. But yeah, basically at the end.
So the rich people are fighting aliens.
Yes, that's exactly the summary. All the rich people of Earth have gotten together and they're secretly fighting all these freaking alien invasions. And they basically had chosen this guy, this Woodrow McCord guy, and they set him up to protect the Earth. They set him up with all this technology, interdimensional portals. And this guy has basically just been going around fighting aliens for who knows how freaking long. I guess like 10, 20 years before Nick Fury stumbled upon him here. And then we see that Howard Stark wants to hand this mantle over to Nick Fury. Then we find out that Nick Fury goes off and starts killing aliens, and not just some aliens, lots of aliens. Like in some cases, he seems to be killing entire alien races. Like he's doing some serious shit. We also see him out there killing underground beasts, netherworld monsters on the weekends. This is all while he has his full-time job as Nick Fury, like agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., eventually the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Meanwhile, just I guess on the weekends, we're supposed to think he's out there battling all these monsters. Now, we also know that
about a side hustle.
That's some serious freaking side hustle, man. Like you're working your Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Friday night comes, you tell your wife you got to go out for a pack of smokes, and you're battling alien races and netherworld creatures. I mean, it just never ends for this guy. And I got to think he's had some help along the way from the good old life model decoys. But yeah, he's just been killing people. He is he is the man on the wall. That is who Nick Fury is. He is guarding the wall, that the proverbial wall of the Earth. And he has basically been, we're learning that he has this secret history of, in addition to all the stuff he's done as Nick Fury over the years, he's also been this secret cosmic guardian of the Earth, protecting them from just about everything. And yeah, that's basically what this whole issue is about, just laying out this origin of, he was of this Nick Fury, who is the unseen, basically. But of course, the Watcher knew about him, because we see a scene where the Watcher is just, watching him, because that's what he does. Watcher knows everything that's going on.
Kind of voyeuristic, now that you really think about it.
It's super creepy. The Watcher is super creepy. And we only see, the comic book superhero stuff that he's watching. But what else is this guy watching? You really think he's not, peeking in on Margot Robbie at night? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to accuse the guy of everything. He just lost his eyes. I don't know. But you got to think he's been doing some creeping around.
At that point, if he's spying on Margot Robbie in the shower, he's probably like, as his eyes are getting gouged out, totally worth it.
Yeah, there was a cool scene actually that where you see that Nick Fury is about to kill Spider-Man. He's about to snipe Spider-Man, and then he's like, you know what? I got a good feeling about this guy. I think he's going to turn into something special, so he doesn't kill Spider-Man. So.
Oh, that's such a heartwarming moment.
Yeah, that's really nice. So yeah, and basically yeah, the Watcher knows all about this shit. Meanwhile, Nick Fury is basically like, do you guys have any questions here or what? And different characters have different reactions. Scott Lang's like, wait, so why are you so old? And Doctor Strange is like, this can't be true. This isn't you. Punisher just like seems fine to me. Like I'm fine with killing a bunch of things. It's all good. But the Orb is saying like, look, he's still not telling the truth. He's not telling you the truth about. And you don't see what. And then you see the Orb start freaking out. He starts going nuts. Starts screaming and yelling. And then you see Black Panther, and he turns to Fury, and he says, what happened to the Watcher? Stop fucking with us, Nick. And when Nick Fury just says he died, and now I suppose it's my turn. So not only do we find out through this story that Nick Fury has been the secret guardian of Earth, protecting him against alien species and demons and netherworld creatures, but he's also been actually getting older this whole time, this version of Nick Fury. And I guess this means that all the Nick Furies, literally all the Nick Furies that we've seen over the last decades, have been life model decoys, because we've never seen Nick Fury this old. So this has been the real Nick Fury off doing space shit, while all the other Nick Furies we've seen, I guess, have been like life model decoys.
Hardcore.
Quite the revelation. What do you think?
I hate that. I'm sorry. I hate everything about that. You cannot take 60 years of this shit and tell me that none of it really mattered. I'm not a fan of that. Like it seems cool in like a flash in the pan sense, but then when you realize that, the stakes were never really as high as the leader was meant to kind of catch on with for all these stories, big and small, I cannot forgive that. No, that's a sin right there.
That's the sin. It does feel like a little bit of a sin against continuity, because I guess I guess, I mean, we've always seen that Nick Fury is, you know, often really being a life model decoy or what have you. And that's been fine with me in the context of specific stories, like, because then you think he's kind of intelligent. Like, you always think, oh, yeah, he just swapped himself out at this last moment because he knew this is the part where someone's going to get mad at him and kill him. So now he's life model decoy. But now this is basically telling us that all of Nick Fury we've ever seen has always been life model decoys for all intents and purposes.
You can't Rick Sanchez your way out of this. I'm sorry. You just can't.
This is definitely some Rick Sanchez-y stuff right here. A lot of Rick and Morty references lately, maybe because of the new season. Maybe they're a secret sponsor of us. That would be great, but they're not. But watch
Nobody
Rick and Morty.
Nobody needs
show.
To know.
Although I got to say, the latest season, it's okay, but it's not like the Rick and Morty of old.
I'm gonna binge it later. I saw the first episode and I was like, yeah, I can wait.
Yeah, there's some good and some bad, but you know, like seasons 1 through 3 are just pure gold. I would say even the first half of season 4, and then it gets a little more hit and miss to me. But anyway, that's not what this issue is about. This is issue. Damn it. Damn it. Damn it.
God damn it, issue, Nick Fury.
This episode in which I'm going to be discussing now, issue number 6 of Original Sin. Moving on, we have we see the Exterminatrix and Midas. They are escaping on a ship with a bunch of these mindless ones. Dr. Midas looks a lot like a thing here. The thing here, don't you think?
Like somebody got super, super like lazy with coming up with new character designs. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, it's a bit odd. I mean, they literally look like they just started drawing the thing here and then drew this electric stuff over him and then called him Dr. Midas. Little weird to me. But yeah, we learned that Dr. Midas, he's going to go to space and he's going to go find an eye. And he has some big ass ship that emerges from the ocean to do that. I mean, all these guys have these amazing ships that can go in the ocean, go to the center of the earth, fly into space. Awesome technology these guys have.
Their credit scores must be awesome.
Moving along, we see Nick Fury doing some more talking, and yeah, basically we learn that, like I was saying, old Nick Fury is the real Nick Fury. For once, they really are talking to the real Nick Fury. All of the rest of them have been these LMDs, these life model decoys, and there's a whole bunch of them. He has like little names for different ones too. Like one of them is Andrew. I think Andrew is the one that was actually in the diner that got killed by Bucky. Like he has these little
My God,
nicknames.
Do these guys have sentience?
That's what's weird. It kind of seems like it, but the whole purpose of them.
Or is it like a goldfish thing where it's like there's nothing really going on in there, but once you name them, you feel attached to it.
Maybe.
Are these like his goldfish?
And who funds the LMDs? Now, like, I wonder, like, is S.H.I.E.L.D. being tricked by these LMDs, or is S.H.I.E.L.D. funding the LMDs because they know that he uses the LMDs?
Are you asking whether or not Nick Fury is misusing taxpayer money?
I think we already know the answer to that either way. That's for sure. Probably the biggest waster. Well, I don't know. Is it a waste if he's saving us from interdimensional creatures? I don't know.
Remember that time he was a terrorist?
I do.
I don't feel too bad for Nick Fury.
Yeah, so Nick Fury goes on to tell a little story about him and the Watcher. And we see Nick Fury is like, he's like struggling. He's beat up probably from some mission of, you know, killing aliens or what have you. And the Watcher just appears in front of him. And he's like, you know, what are you going to do? I'm not going to die like this. And he's just kind of like yelling at the Watcher. He's like, oh, you know, you're just going to keep doing what you do, which is still, oh yeah, nothing, right? You're just going to do nothing. Cool. Well, I got a whole word to protect no matter the cost. So we get an inkling that Nick Fury and the Watcher, this is an issue they have discussed. Well, not discussed before, because the Watcher doesn't really talk very often, but Fury knows, the Watcher knows what he's doing and probably doesn't like the fact that he just sits there watching when he is a powerful creature and he probably does have the power to intervene in some way, shape or form, but he chooses not to. So Fury kind of has a bit of a contentious relationship with the Watcher. Fury also reveals that he is dying. The infinity formula in his system that has been keeping me young all those years is gone and it's used up and he's aging rapidly now. So it's possible that it's more recent that we saw these LMDs fully replace Fury, because it sounds like it's only like very lately that the infinity formula that was keeping him alive for so long was actually wearing off. So maybe you can believe it was him for a lot of the time, but I still have a hard time believing that he I mean, look, I'm a side hustler too, you're a side hustler too, but that's a hell of a side hustle, man. I don't know where he got the energy for all that shit. Running S.H.I.E.L.D. 5 days a week.
I can't go commit like galactic genocide just for the hell of it on a Saturday.
Yeah. And is he getting paid? Is he getting paid for this? Like, Howard Stark's gone now. Like, is someone still funding this operation?
They must have written it into a trust. It's like, for as long as we can go ahead and keep 10% of our capital gains into this investment fund for him, we'll be able to make sure that little Nicholas here can go ahead and spend the rest of his life killing alien dictators and completely wiping other species off the map for Earth.
Fury is talking to this whole crew. He's saying, like, none of you is here by chance. I chose all of you for a reason. Well, except for the raccoon. And he's like, you know, some of you are friends. Some of you I only know by reputation. Some of you owe me debts from a long ago. And some of you don't owe any damn thing to anyone. Some of you are without a doubt the smartest, most capable people on the face of the earth. And I wanted each of you to see what I've been doing all these years. Yes, I wanted you to follow my trail, but not so you could stop me. So you could replace me when I die. One of you must take my place. What a fucking goddamn roundabout way to get these fuckers together to ask them if to reveal this thing you've been doing for all these decades, literally like 60 years here. I don't know. Maybe an email, maybe an invite to a cocktail party.
He is such a terrible friend.
He's the worst.
He's the one that's like, I treat you all like shit because I love you. Your love is painful.
Yeah, he is the absolute worst. Meanwhile, back at the Avengers Tower, we have Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, and Wolverine, and they're checking out. They're saying, okay, this is not Fury. It's a life model decoy. Way to catch up to the rest of us. And they figure out that some shit is going down. They also go to track down Nick Fury and meet up with everybody else. And then we see that a little conflict ensues here because these guys are, believe it or not that thrilled with the situation, not that thrilled that they've been brought here, that Nick Fury is presenting this whole thing to them, and that they're being asked to take this mantle on. But meanwhile, they still have a mystery to solve, and Black Panther's not letting it go. He's saying, Nick, this time I'm going to ask you politely, who killed the Watcher? And right as this, he says that, there's a beep beep goes off, and Nick Fury says, that would be the self-destruct on Andrew's body. It means we don't have much time. We'll need to hurry things along here, I'm afraid.
Andrew, no!
Yeah, so Fury just stabs Bucky with this electrifying staff and grabs the eye back. So he's got the eye of the Watcher again. And, you know, Strange is saying, like, look, Fury, you really need to stop and think about what you're doing here. And he's like, believe me, I've been thinking about it for like fucking decades now.
Why don't you ever send Christmas cards?
He's like, I've got a world to protect. That's what I'm going to freaking do. And then the whole crew here begins to battle he's like, Panther's like, look, you have the chance to come along peacefully, because they now suspect that he is the one who definitely killed the Watcher. All signs seem to point that way. And so Black Panther starts, they all start attacking the LMDs. Now we get a big battle between this whole crew and all of the LMDs. Meanwhile, Nick Fury is, he's still holding Orb. He's holding Orb prisoner, basically. And he wants to know how it got to the Watcher's secrets. So Fury has the eye, but he doesn't know how the orb actually got those secrets out of the Watcher. And he says, like, his secrets, they ought to die with the Watcher, basically here. And you know, just as everyone's coming together, who arrives? It's this whole actual Avengers crew has now showed up. Again, we got Captain America, we got Thor, we got Falcon, your boy Falcon is here, Spider-Man in some weird armor, Captain Marvel, Wolverine, Black Widow, Iron Man. This is really quite a interesting group of Avengers at this time here.
When the fuck did Captain Marvel show up?
I have no idea.
Where the hell are these people coming from?
I guess they're just, I think everyone was an Avenger at this point in time, basically. So yeah, then we see Captain America. He's like screaming, where's Nick Fury? Where's the real Nick Fury? The Avengers are here.
Wait, are they still in space?
Now they're in space. Yeah, now they're back in space.
How are they breathing outside?
I think they're just in the space station and there's air there or something.
I don't want to know.
I think we're not supposed to think about this one too much. They're on some satellite that Nick Fury secretly operates this whole thing off of from. Then when we see this blast, and you know, Captain America's like, Nick, what the hell? And Nick says, all my eyes are open. He's like, all that matters is at long last, all my eyes are open. And Nick Fury is holding both eyes of the Watcher, and he's all decked out in his super space cop gear with all this weaponry and guns, and he's looking ready to rumble. What do you think about this new version of Nick Fury that I guess has been secret Nick Fury, secret space guardian, I guess, for all these years?
He stole Cable's look. Look at those massive guns in pockets.
He really is. He really is Cable here, even down to the eye and everything. So moving on to issue 7, I'm going to bring this thing forcibly, regretfully, not regretfully. What am I talking about? We're going to bring this thing mercifully to a close here with the last couple episodes here. We do get another flashback to a few days ago when we see Orb and Dr. Midas landing on the moon. They are headed into the Watcher's lair, and you know they're saying, you know, he's the Watcher. He sees everything. They're also with the Mindless Ones and the Exterminatrix. So they were heading there to do this. Watcher says, "I see you." Dr. Midas, who does not look like the thing, now he looks like Tony Stark's original armor here. He says, "Plan B, kill the bastard." And that's when we see this big zap of energy or whatever, this explosion that we saw back in this very first issue here. And then we zap over to, it says, now on the moon. We see the Hulk has been shot away by, I guess, by a Nick Fury blast. We see, I think it's Luke Cage is flying in space here. Everyone is battling Nick Fury in space here. Nick Fury is just going whole hog on everyone with his weaponry. He's carrying these Watcher eyes around. And I even made a note here, like I mentioned earlier, like everyone can just fight in space. Like it's no big deal. No matter what power you have, or even if you don't really have powers, you're just kind of strong, you have no problem just fighting around in space. Like it's just, I don't know if they all had space training one day or what, but they just slap on a helmet. So now they are in space because now they all have these helmets on. So I guess before they didn't have the helmets, the end of the last issue, now Nick Fury shows up and now they're battling in space. And I guess they all got space helmets in the meantime.
This is so fucking stupid.
Yeah, this is when it's getting just like you said. I think in the beginning I was intrigued by the mystery and by where it was going, but then I think once we got into like issue 5 and we learn about this secret origin of Nick Fury, it just gets absurd and ridiculous and makes you wonder why this even ever happened in the first place.
Yeah.
But yeah, Orb is back out, and Orb unleashes the big secret. The big secret. I don't know what the big secret is, but that's what I wrote in my notes. I'm not exactly sure what Orb did here. But we also see that Orb. Oh, this is back to that flashback too. We go back, and I think we see that Orb had shot the Watcher. Yeah, we go back to the flashback from when Orb and Dr. Midas had showed up, and we see that Orb does shoot the Watcher in the eye. He says, "You'll never have to see anything again." So we do see that Orb did shoot Watcher in the eye and did blow his eye out, but we still haven't seen the rest of the scene here. So meanwhile, Nick Fury is he's telling stuff to people. He knows that Thor has a sister, but he's like, there's another secret here, and he whispers something in Thor's ear, and then Thor immediately loses his hammer, and his hammer flies to the moon, and the whole rest of the time Thor cannot pick up his hammer again. It was only years later that we would finally find out what Nick Fury said to Thor. Do you know what that was, Remzo?
Your sister is coming over because Todd McFarlane couldn't afford the license for this character.
Oh, that's right. This is when they bring in Angela as his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Angela, the character who was actually created by Neil Gaiman, appeared in Spawn, but he was a Neil Gaiman creation because it was when Neil Gaiman came into.
He was a Neil Gaiman creation, but it was all part of McFarlane's side of Spawn. So it was one of the characters that Gaiman was like, "I don't care about character licenses." So McFarlane was like, "Well, I'll take it."
Yeah. So how did she end up as a Marvel character from McFarlane?
A lot of the Image characters in 2014 got liquidated. So. Like a bunch of Liefeld's characters, like Prophet and stuff, don't actually belong to him anymore. And I don't know when Angela was part of that deal, but it was really like some under the covers type shit.
Interesting stuff. All right. And there was a Thor storyline where Angela was from the 10th realm and was a separator from him at birth, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what that.
Then she became a guardian of the galaxy, and now no one gives a shit.
And now no one cares. But yeah, Angela was a cool character back in Spawn, but not so much in the MCU. But no, what Nick Fury told Thor at this point, he said Gore was right. Gore, the God Butcher, who basically said that, you know, gods shouldn't exist. Gods are bad and whatever. So that's what Fury tells Thor, that he's not right. And this is what leads Thor to being unworthy Thor, which is what leads to, I almost said Natalie Portman, but it's what leads to Jane Foster becoming female Thor because she is worthy. And yeah, it's a whole thing. I thought the God Butcher storyline that Jason Aaron did was awesome. Some of the stuff after that, somewhat questionable.
We did send that graphic novel out to one of our patrons, so you never know what you're going to get.
Indeed, we did. Just another great reason to sign up at the epic crossover level, 25, just a measly $25 a month over patreon.com/secondprintpod. But yes, we see Thor's hammer falls down. Let's see. We find some other secrets, like that we find out that Wolverine once murdered his own children, so that's interesting. I'm sure he had a good reason. let's see. Nick Fury is just flying away with the Watcher's eyes. Back on the moon, we see that Dr. Midas and the Orb are attacking the Hulk. And the Orb is there. He's there because he wants to see the Watcher's last secret. He wants to find out exactly what happened. So even though we saw that flashback, apparently he didn't kill the Watcher because, well, we're going to see what happened right now. So we go to a flashback and we come upon Nick Fury, the unseen Nick Fury. He comes upon the Watcher, and now the Watcher is not dead here. The Watcher is just hurting. He's in a lot of pain. He's struggling because he had his one eye blown out by Orb. So Orb and Dr. Midas, they came. You know, they didn't try to kill the Watcher. They just wanted to shoot his eye out and take his eye and learn some secrets and what have you.
Like rhino hunting.
Yeah, kind of like rhino hunting, but Nick Fury comes upon him and he says, "Oh, hell." And he sees that the Watcher is really, really pissed. He's like, "You know, you gotta tell me what happened here. Tell me what you saw." And, you know, he says, you saw it all back then, didn't you? Even this, I bet, you big, bald son of a bitch. And we then see, and he says, there's nobody watching. And we see all these Watchers surrounding the blue area of the moon as we end this issue. So we still don't quite know what happened at the end there with old Nick Fury and the Watcher. We're saving that, I guess, for the big issue 8. Anything you want to discuss before we dive into the conclusion here?
Gosh damn it, Watcher.
I do say, I like one note I made, like, I like the covers. The covers of all of these issues are really good. And this cover of issue 8 is pretty cool.
Yeah, but they really show you nothing. It's like for issue 8, where the fuck did Mr. Fantastic come into this? He's on the cover. We haven't seen him this entire time.
So is Iron Fist. Iron Fist is on the cover of
and
this.
Daredevil. What is Daredevil going to do in an environment that has no sound or ability to echo?
Yeah, not a whole lot. We did see Daredevil in like one scene earlier, I think, when they were battling the Mindless One. Yeah, but we never saw Iron Fist. I don't even know what he's one character that was not in this at all. But anyway, he's on the cover.
He's there because they want to remind you he's getting a Netflix show when this came out.
Yeah. Probably is the only reason he's there. Moving on to issue 8. Finally, the merciful ending here. We see another flashback where the Watcher reveals to Fury that, yes, he does indeed see everything, including the unseen. He says, "You are correct, Nick." Yeah, that's actually what he says. He says, "You're correct, Nicholas Fury. I do see all the things, even the unseen." And Watcher just kind of shows him his whole history, like he's like, so he knows all this stuff. And Nick Fury gets really pissed off. We're also going back and forth between the present and this flashback. So in the present, we see all these Watchers, other people of this Uatu's race, just kind of surrounding this base on the moon and just, well, doing what they do. They're just watching things, you know, that's what they do. Nick Fury just says, "You son of a bitch." And here, back in the present time, Nick Fury is now battling Dr. Midas. Dr. Midas is actually, he's trying to go up to the Watcher's body. He's saying, "There's power in the Watcher's flesh, dead flesh as well. Take him apart so I may drink his blood and consume his knowledge one bite at a time."
That's metal.
In life, yeah, that's pretty metal. "All this fool did was watch through his death. All we shall do is conquer." So then Cable Nick Fury shows up and he goes after Dr. Midas, and you know, he's battling them.
Oh, he blows off his hand.
Yeah. And we then go back to this flashback, and he's Nick Fury is just screaming at the Watcher. He's like, "Everything I did was worth it. Don't fucking judge me. You just sit around watching things. Everything I did, I had to do so long as the earth is still spinning." So he's like, "Tell me what you saw. Tell me who I have to kill next." And the Watcher says, "You already know." Again, we're bouncing back and forth between the present, bouncing back to this battle with Nick Fury battling Dr. Midas and Exterminatrix. And then I guess Exterminatrix tries to just take off. She actually turns on Dr. Midas and tries to just leave with Dr. Midas's hand that she had cut off, I guess. She's like, "Goodbye,
that's
Father. I'll always keep you close to my heart." Yeah, that's some tough family relations here. Meanwhile, Nick Fury is just pissed off because the Watcher sees everything and keeps his secrets in his eyes, and he just doesn't like that. Back in the present, Nick Fury is being beaten down by the Mindless Ones. We then see that Fury is still in this flashback yelling at the Watcher, and he's saying, who is here? Who took your eye? Answer me. What did you see? And he's like, look, I have seen too much. It's time for someone else to watch. And he's like, what are you doing? Put your hands down. I'm not the enemy here. I'm trying to protect the damn world. You will not stand in the way. He's like, damn it, you bet. And Watcher like kind of powers up like he's going to attack Fury. And like I said, meanwhile, back in the present, Fury's just getting beaten down by these mindless ones. Meanwhile, as Orb is getting ready to use these eyes, the eyes actually come alive and they attack Orb, and they circle around Orb, and they're basically like choking Orb out. Meanwhile, old Nick Fury is saying, I can't die, not until I know it was worth it, until I know this isn't the end. And then they're coming in. This battle is still happening. The Avengers show up. Now they're there battling all the mindless ones, intervening and actually saving Fury here. And Black Panther's like, yeah, you're going to answer for your crimes. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, we're here. Now just stay down. And he's like, look, you're here because you've seen the truth in what I said. For that, I'm sorry. I have to pass this burden on to one of you. It's not an easy road. It wasn't for me. It won't be for one of you. But someone's got to walk this walk, man. Someone's got to do it. And he's like, one last sin. He's like, just say it, Fury. He's like, there's one last sin I have to confess to. And he's like, yes, I did it. I killed the Watcher. And we then finally see the end of this flashback. We see Nick Fury shooting the Watcher in the face, killing him. He says, I killed him, and then God help me. And he pulls out the other eye. And we then see Bucky approaching. We're now back in the present. He says, put the eyeball down. This is finished. Fury says, no, Buck, it's not quite over yet. Midas is still inside, and he's growing stronger. I can feel it. Someone's got to stop him. I'm the only one who can. I got to save the world one last time. And Bucky says, look, Nick, you're going to die if you don't give this up. Let us finish this. We can save the world too. And basically they just say, like, I can do this, Bucky. I got one more sin left in me. Just get everybody back before. And then we see a big kaboom, and we see that somehow Dr. Midas has been powered up by, I guess he consumed the Watcher's flesh here. I don't really know exactly what happened, but Dr. Midas has somehow consumed this energy of the Watcher and is all powered up. Meanwhile, Orb is like losing his shit. He's being basically attacked by these two eyes, and all these Watchers are standing around watching him, and he's saying like, help me. And they're like, oh no, we can't interfere. This is our sacred vow. All we can do is observe. So sorry, you're kind of fucked here. Meanwhile, we finally do see, we go back to this flashback once again of old Nick Fury standing over the Watcher. And he's saying like, it'll all be worth it in the end. He's taken the Watcher's eye. He's like, yeah, let's hope I was right. And Midas is approaching him, and he's basically like, look, give me that fucking eye, bitch. And Fury's like, fuck you. And Fury just shoves this eye into the middle of Dr. Midas, and somehow that energy like just takes out Dr. Midas. So that's basically how Nick Fury does this one final act to defeat Dr. Midas. And Fury basically totally fucks him up with the eyeball of doom. It takes all his might, all his energy, and it does appear that that Nick Fury is actually dying for real. Finally, for once, Nick Fury is dying here. Bucky says, damn it, Nick, this it appears to be some Watcher chick is also crying and saying, goodbye to Uatu. Basically, it seems Nick Fury is actually dead for real this time. And Captain America is just trying to kind of get the whole gang together, try to clean this thing up. He says, Fury's satellite of LMDs, it seems to have disappeared the second that he died. There's no sign of the orb. Exterminatrix, we see that she has taken off in a little epilogue, and she's going to be starting this new Midas Empire. So I don't know if that's a storyline that goes anywhere, but she turns a snake. She turns a snake into gold. So we see that she has the Midas powers that she got from sealing his hand, I guess. Meanwhile, Orb still is fine. He still seems to be alive, but now he has a Watcher's eye in his body, and they see him as showing up at this couple's house. And I think this couple was actually from the initial issue. I think this is the one that was like with the babysitter. And now Orb disappears and he says, oh, I'm not here to stop you. I just want to watch. So that's creepy. I guess Orb is going to be using one of these Watcher eyes to watch things from now on.
That lasts for like a year.
Yeah. Thor still can't lift his hammer. So we just end this with him on the moon, just trying to lift his hammer up, and he can't do it. And then we finally see that Bucky, in fact, he has become the new Unseen. He is out there fighting aliens and using all this technology. And then we get one last
shot. That lasts for like 6 months.
One last shot we see, he says, there will always be someone watching, someone who sees all things, all the beauty and horror, all the secrets and sins, someone whose sacred duty is to record the life of our world, to observe us from afar, to watch, but never interfere, to remain forevermore unseen. He is the unseen, and this is his burden now. This is his curse. And now basically Nick Fury, he didn't actually die. He's basically old man chained up Cable Nick Fury with a hood on, and I guess he is now the new Watcher, and Bucky is the new Unseen, even though they're still calling Nick Fury the Unseen. Boy, did this one start off strong and then spiral into absolute madness. Why don't we get right into our ratings? You want to take a stab first? You want me to?
I'll go ahead and jump on it first. I try and stay consistent when it comes to storytelling. Is this good for new readers? Is this good for longtime readers? It's good for neither. Apart from that, inconsistent storytelling, the need to constantly try and cram in characters who serve no story purpose, it creates somewhat of a confusing environment where you don't know if you've paid attention enough. What's even worse is that halfway through the series, they create some retcons that leave a very bad taste in my mouth in terms of what's going on with Nick Fury. And lastly, with the constant spinoffs that came out of this, I mean, we also learned that Dum Dum Dugan died like 40, 50 years ago. So every time you've seen Dum Dum Dugan, who was Nick Fury's number two in any series, he's always just been an LMD, but he didn't know that. So that was another stupid thing. This had some long-term positive effects. Like we get to see the Jane Foster Thor, who was pretty awesome. But everything else that sets up, like this isn't like a couple years of effects. It was like after a year, they were like, we got to move the fuck on from this thing. There were like three other big crossover events within the year this came out too, trying to whitewash some of what happened. So I'm giving the storytelling everything. I'm giving it a two. I'm going to give the artwork a three, not because I think the artwork is terrible, but because I think the renditions of all these characters are just bad. Like I get it. Like every era tends to have its own, like, you know, theme for costumes and stuff like that. I didn't like any of these things. So it's not necessarily the artist. It's just that none of these characters are very visually appealing. So I'm giving the full book a 5 out of 10.
Wow, that's harsh but fair, I guess I could say. Tough but fair. For me, like, it started off interesting, and this is why I say it's a story that pulled me in initially, because I was, you know, I've been a big Fantastic Four fan my whole life. The Watcher has always been an integral part of that series and part of the Marvel universe. And when I saw that the plot of the story was centered around the death of the Watcher, I found that intriguing. And I found some of the initial sort of laying out of, you know, the mystery behind it to be interesting as well. But I say once we got about halfway through this series, you realize it's really not going anywhere intriguing. It's actually just going somewhere really fucking weird and really fucking pointless. And I'm not sure what the whole point of this was, other than to just write off Nick Fury and get him out of the way entirely so we could have the Sam Jackson version of Nick Fury to replace him. But man, this just seemed like of the weirdest way to possibly go about that, to create this whole side back history where he was secretly battling aliens. And how dumb is it that he brings all these people here because the one of them has to replace him, and to do that he secretly hires them.
You're telling me you think that Ant-Man is worthy of being a replacement for this giant intergalactic assassin job?
Apparently he was on the list.
Like I get like the Punisher, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, maybe Gamora, definitely Winter Soldier, yeah, I mean obviously. But it's like, this was what I hate about this is that this entire series was only done in order to create more brand reinforcement for the films and the TV show. And I mean, I've been saying a lot, it's like the comics feel like cheap merchandise for the movies and the shows. This is probably the biggest example of that.
Indeed. Yeah. So like I said, when the story seemed like it might intrigue me at first, but it really did spiral into madness and nonsense. And really, it's already been reversed, because I think just recently in Fantastic Four, the Watcher came back and he's like recruited Nick Fury as his agent of something or other, because no one would suspect Nick Fury because they think he's dead, but he's really been the new Watcher this whole time. I don't know. I haven't read it. That's just some snippets that I've seen. But basically, this is convoluted and a complete mess and doesn't really go anywhere except to lead to a bunch of spinoffs that you really don't have to read at all. So I'm going to agree with you on the story. I'm going to give the story a two. I don't think it deserves much more than that. The art, I'll be a little more. No, I think I'll be about the same on the art. Yeah, I mean, I'll give it slightly above average, because I thought it was decent art throughout.
The artist is not bad. It's the stuff he was given to work with.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not going to hold it too much against Mike Diodato. I will agree with you on the score. I'll give him a three. I'll give him a three. And I think we have the same score here, a 5 out of 10. That brings us to an SBC total of 10 out of 20, which I would say would not be something you have to read. Not even something you should read. It actually feels a little high, but it's not as bad as Bloodlines. I'll say that.
Bloodlines was just intentionally shitty.
Yeah,
this felt like they had this felt like a Disney decision. Disney was like, we need you to come up with a way to go ahead and remind all the people who read the comics and are unsure about the shows that the shows are coming out. This is at the height of the Netflix Marvel era.
And also Kill the Watcher while you're at it. And then also make a weird history of Nick Fury, because why not?
Yeah, let's send the Winter Soldier to space. He's popular now. The kids like him now. Let's send him to space.
So yeah, what happened to that? Did that go anywhere?
For like 6 months, and then it came back.
He just said, I'm not doing that anymore?
Yeah. I was still mad because around this time, that's when, like, there's a scene where Wolverine's like, oh, is Bucky alive? It's because he had, quote, died as Captain America when he was Captain America during Fear Itself. But then he went on to be like an undercover agent for S.H.I.E.L.D. So he wasn't around any of his hero friends. So this is the first time he came back publicly in the Marvel universe. So everyone realized, oh my God, Bucky's alive.
Gotcha.
It was poorly done.
All right. Well, I think that is going to wrap it up for this week's edition of Second Print Comics, where you can find us each and every Wednesday here. You can also find us each and every Sunday on the North South Connection feed, where you get tons of pro wrestling, pop culture stuff. If you're into that, check out the North South Connection feed, where you can find us as well. And of course, as we've mentioned, if you want to support the show, if you want to help us grow the Second Print Comics empire, please do check out our Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can help support this show. And we really are putting that money to good use. We've done some marketing campaigns. A lot of our fans have been a result of those marketing campaigns, and we have some other stuff brewing as well, of course, and we pay for all of our expenses for our website, for our podcast hosting. It's all covered by you guys, and the more that it's covered, the more we can expand and grow this thing, the more we can get people talking about comics. And that's really why we do this show, because we love talking about comics. We love the idea of comics. We love getting more people into comics. And if you meet that definition, well, that's probably why you're still listening to us right now. So please do check that out. Remzo, any last words?
Let's make America read again, people. As always, I'm Remzo W. Martinez.
And I am the unseen Mark Claire.
Read comics! Change the world. Good night, America.
Adios!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.